it's a must. We need to understand this necessity, and we require studies to be conducted in the first place regarding the banking system, regarding the health system, impediments, production, as to how we should avoid electricity cuts, but even embark on exporting power, regarding the fact that each village and little town should be a cell for a surge in production, not just be given some services. If we believe that 27% of the population that live in rural areas, if we should look at them as a majority, we should help them boost their activity and boost the economy. This is an insult to villages and also remove the barriers of leadership by Mr. Hemmati. I don't know how he makes these insults. I mean, when we say that we talk about this leap for employment, each body and organization should have its own mission objectives regarding this. Foreign exchanges should also know what the government's plan is. We shouldn't be kept waiting. We shouldn't raise issues wrong. Let's say 200 countries are members of FATF. You know that you are also, and you wrote, you signed an action plan. 49 parts that you implemented. You even don't know that? So this is already done, and they said that this is not acceptable. So why? You are blaming people inside the country instead of asking the FATF why. For 49 organizations, they're duty-bound, and they have the responsibilities regarding villages. Is this called an insult? I just don't get the point. I mean, this is what I'm trying to tell our respective people. If we want those the issues, I mean, like the parents who have four kids with no jobs, what solution do you have for this? With running the routine affairs of the country, you cannot do anything about this. With hesitating what to do, you cannot do anything. I mean, if you say we want to do our studies later on, things won't happen. From day one of the government, this needs to start strongly.
Thank you very much. And the next candidate number two, yes, you have 3 minutes to express your criticism.
In the name of God, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, said that governance is trust, not a trap. And the late Imam said the difference between us and the Pahlavi regime is that we have to serve. If we go after interest, then our own interests, we would turn into taghut. And if there was no revolution, none of us were here. And we were in a position that we're not in proportion with the position we have today. So we do not have the right to talk general topics like senators and accuse one another. We do not have the right to work without planning. We do not have the right to swim in their pools and breathe in the atmosphere. In such a case, we have been separated from the people, and the late Imam said that is the day of our death. If I have the honor to be the president, I will uproot corruption, and that's a top priority. It's a menace, and I will uproot lies, spreading of lies. Said that I was expelled from the central bank, and Mr. Waizi said that's not true. And there was a money transferred from Sadarat Bank to Pasargat Bank, and Mr. Deshpasand said this, announced this. And he has written a letter and is recommending the price of petrol to become 5,000 in 2 months. This is his own signature. I've come here to combat this, the spreading of lies. There's talk of filtering. You had closed the comments on your Instagram, and you do not dare confronting the people coming across the people. And when there are so many mistakes, and the one And this is done deliberately. And the economic war has turned into something fun. And they laughed at the people on Friday morning. And they went into the tents of quake-stricken people with their boots and so there are so many problems in the country. We should press our hands and uproot inefficiency. This is a wrong approach that exists in the country for 40 years, and it's been consuming the revolution and has not served
the people.
Thank
you very much. As I already said, now we are in the last part of the last to the half of the section of this debate. Each of the candidates has 3 minutes to sum up what was discussed in the previous sections of this debate as well as in the previous debates. Actually, this is the final. Actually, this what the candidates have to sum up. Each of them has 3 minutes. Candidate number 7, Mr. Rezai, the floor is yours.
As I said, the next 8 years will be really crucial. 8 years, this will be determining both for our people, for Iran, and for the Islamic establishment. So we cannot be left behind compared to Turkey. I mean, your living subsistence issues really a source of shame for us. When our government is determined by planning, when nobody was talking about planning, we've been having plans. We should have plans for Iran's movement in the next 8 years. We'll act strongly. The promise that we're making definitely will make good on them. I mean, 450,000 subsidy handouts, the resources are designated, the wages and salaries of women breadwinners, single parents, I'm serious about that. Household businesses, I will try to expand across the nation. Inexpensive and easy, long term, let's say 40, 50 year installment plan to buy homes. That's what I will pursue. And the stocks of the Iran national industry. I will pay you 30% of that. So this way, I'll try to deal with people's livelihood issues. But I will not suffice to this. We'll go further. I mean, we'll try to regionalize Iran's the economy. We get progress from the center and capital. We delegate them to provincial centers based on our constitution. People can put their money to work in those same places where they live. The companies there, they should pay their added value there and then. They shouldn't take it to Tehran. So all Iran should be considered Tehran. We should just pay attention to Tehran. The government that I will form to do this will be a government comprised of all Iran ethnic groups, Sunni Muslims, Shiites, other minority groups, Iranian ethnic groups. Everybody will be partaken. And the third issue is the national projects across the nation. There are 14 huge projects that we will hopefully embark on, and most of them I will try to do it in 4 years, and if possible, if I have will be given the pleasure, I'll do it in 8 years. And I'm telling you seriously that if I'm not able to make good on promises, before you can imagine, I will come and admit it, and I will give up. Your vote matters. Your vote is not, is no covering, is no supporting, is not no donation. With your vote, you help grow. You help the country grow in the future. And the other issue is the projects like equalizing the pension funders, corporation companies, the development for rural areas,
thank
insurance
you very
for
much.
Farmers.
Thank you. Let's choose the next candidate randomly. Candidate number 4, Mr. Raisi. Yes, the floor is yours.
In the name of God, the point that I had to elaborate in connection with petrol, the decision maker was the government and The plan was presented at the Coordination Council just for coordination. The approval was aimed at distribution amongst the people, and that was how it was approved, and there was lack of prudence in its implementation. And to see who is to be blamed for this, I think that there's the report by the Secretariat of the Council and also report by the senior judicial authorities. It has been examined by all the members, and the one who should be held accountable is Mr. Rouhani, and that's based on documents. And we have been discussed this. All those who were involved, the issue was raised, the leader has granted a pardon. The first point with respect to the success of the president is its approach. What sort of approach is the new president? What approach does the new president have? Our approach is based on justice. A government that wants to administer justice, we have some backwardness in this regard. It must benefit from all the capacities of the country and must benefit from all the qualified human resources of the country. It must be able to build consensus. If there is no consensus, nothing will be possible, and there should be a strong executive power. We have the 6th development plan, we have the 5th development plan. The government has not fulfilled many of these plans. The plan is of great importance for the president and the government, and the performance endorses that plan. But if you don't have a good performance, that would be nothing but a slogan. There should be some signs and symptoms indicating that the plan has been implemented. Another basic point is that the people must know that the president has an equal approach towards all the people, and the right of every Iranian is protected. That includes Sunnis, Shiites, teachers, retirees, laborers, farmers, men, women, and all members of the country are the same. And the people have the right, and the government has an obligation.
Yes.
And the government has obligations, and we feel obligated to do the necessary follow-ups.
Let's choose the next candidate. Candidate number 6, Mr. Azizadeh Hashemi. Yes, the floor is yours.
Respected my people, as the first youth, I'm here to replace the special generation with the young generation. They have pushed the right people outside of the revolution. We shouldn't have wealthy and the poor. My government is the government of the people. But the second step will try to stand against those who have taken hostage to the tranquility of the society. The first feature of ours is bravery of those here that have been politicized, and because of the wrong choices, those dossiers will be closed. The biggest preoccupation of people is that why this country should be restricted to only one thing, and that's nepotism. If you have money, you can go on best travels, you can ride the best cars, you can live in the best car, you can avoid military service. On the back of nepotism, you can get billion, large sums of loans, you can get jobs, you can avoid bureaucratic problems. But my government, the government of the youth, will try to replace this with zeal, with fervor. If you had a little zeal, our girls would not marry without a dowry, and the politicization would not happen. With zeal and fervor, our athletes would not be acting as sellers and vendors. And on the back of zeal, if you have a government authority with a child outside, living outside of this country's borders, the official would make a resignation on his own. Everybody needs to have the fair share. Our government will bring people peace and security on the back of their zeal and fervor. So zeal means the same thing. It's the same thing. When zeal is restored, then the entire Iran, actually the entire body of the paid respects, that's a lower youth, that's and also the in a volleyball game there was this another youth that made impossible impossible, and the second step youth on the back of their zeal they will make the impossible possible. Our people, if they see any signs of zeal, just like Marja Soleimani, they will also safeguard and love the country. If the people are upset today, it's because they haven't found zeal and empathy among the authorities. And my government is the government of the youth and the women, those who are zealous and those who make possible the impossible. They can imagine what's unimaginable. Your children have come here. They have grown up to make
Thank
Iran
you very
more
much.
Developed. Trust them.
Thank you very much. Let's choose the next candidate randomly. Candidate number two, Mr. Zakani. Yes, the floor is yours.
In the name of God, people, we should all engage in an uprising against the polluters. And we have been deceived by some of the officials and by realizing that we should have an uprising against them. What the things I do and I do not do? I will create meritocracy in this country. I will be honest with you. I will eradicate absolute poverty within a year, and I will also improve the health sector, not to be concerned about the costs of medication. And I will decentralize decision making, and I will also create developments in provinces. We will improve the rural areas, and we will pave the way for opposite immigration to rural areas. Today, I promise you that with a plan that we have been prepared within 10 years, and we have given it to the Guardian Council in two segments, in five volumes and seven volumes, and I do believe in that plan. I do believe that plan. So we will make use of all the untapped capacities. I promise that I will benefit from people from different ethnicities. I will implement the Constitution and Articles 10 and 21 refers to women, and also the articles referring to civil freedom, Article 28 related to employment, Article 29 related to Social Security, Article 38 related to education, and there should be major development in the educational system and also the housing sector and so on through deregulation, and we will pursue a path in order to eradicate addiction within 4 years. This is something feasible. Providing insurance for women who are custodians of their families and so on. We do not lie to the people. We do not run the government through inflation. We will not leave free those who have debts, banking debts, and we will replace the managers with qualified ones. We do not give positions to our relatives. We do not humiliate the people. We do not make domestic problems dependent on foreigners. We attach importance to our scientists. We will implement the law, and what matters is honesty and law abiding.
Let's choose the next candidate. Candidate number five, Mr. Mehralizadeh, the floor is yours.
Mr. Zakani, who is an essay teacher, if he doesn't find fault with me and respecting our people, I don't want to waste people's time. And If I want to speak on a well-calculated ground, let me read something from paper.
In the name
of God who created mankind free, noble people of Iran. 6 days later, we're having the election which can have a predetermined result and come to an end that way, or it could have a miraculous result that's apart from what's demanded by monopolizers. The Islamic Republic of Iran was supposed to be protected and the people to be at the helm. We're supposed to have a freedom of expression. All tastes were supposed to take part in the election. No rent-seeking was supposed to be moved away, and equal chances was supposed to be given to all people as to what people wear, what they eat, and how they think. In a nutshell, in the choice of the style of living, people are supposed to be free. And I'm aware that we are distances, we're miles away from what we are supposed to be or supposed to have. There are two options, either to say no to the polling stations and not to take part, and the second way is to pin our future in a brilliant future and for the dignity and pride of Iranians, and also to put an end to this fighting and insulting one another with a hope regarding the future in order to protect Iran from dangers in the future. We need to go to the ballot boxes. Also, 14 years ago, the whole things were mobilized to for one person to take office, but your will changed the whole thing, and the government of reform was formed as the most efficient government after the Islamic Revolution. That was because of your vote. You have the power in your hand. You have the right of choosing between hope and despair and justice or injustice and tyranny. And no participation is within your rights. But when you don't participate, you're depriving yourself of your own rights. So let's use this legal opportunity and rights of ours to say another degrading to the government of life. And let's make an Iran which is befitting of Iranians. Let's join hands and stand by each other's sides to have the right governance and to construct a developed Iran which is free and independent. And this time, the moment of election is the moment of
Thank you very much. Let's choose the next candidate. Candidate number three, Mr. Hemmati, the floor is yours.
Dear nation of Iran, for 6 months to the internal hardliners, and those from us and people from outside have threatened us, and I was blamed for many of the problems, and all the candidates present here know that I fought with Trump at the central bank empty-handed, and they are not saying this because they have to tarnish me, and I knew if I get into the campaign, they're going to tarnish me. But I said to myself, perhaps I won't be able to forgive. And I took part in the campaign. I became a candidate, and Mr. Rouhani was a good president during time of interaction. Remember those years, but during the years of economic war, no one knew how he's going to act. No one could predict Trump and his actions. Rouhani didn't perform as effectively as possible, and his economic team, alongside the people who are here, and also there was obstructionism. We have to accept that when the people are angry, the president must not laugh and say that I became aware on Friday morning. The people, for 3 years, there are elements who are seeking to disappoint you, inculcating to you that your ballots have no value, and internal hardliners and foreigners are external enemies, are afraid of your ballots. Your blood has been shed in order to have elections, and I invite you to sing a song, Be Happy, and I promise that I will save the country. I promise that turn this country into the regional economic power, and I will improve life, people's livelihood. This is something I know. تاج زاده جانیدی صفایی فراهانی فردوسی بود تا یازری جهرومی تا یبنی پزشکیان کرباسیان and مسجد جامعه زفرقندی محمد جواد زریف. They can all help me to have a better Iran. I have no fear. My brothers are not corrupt. My son, my daughters, my wife are not corrupt. I no one can blackmail me. And don't let 28th of Khordad come 28th of Mordad and show your power to all who do not want to see you happy. This is our homeland. This is our Iran.
Thank you very much. The last candidate who will speak, Mr. Jalili, candidate number one. The floor is yours.
Speaking of picking a president for Iran, that's what we're talking about, Iran with all its capacities. Well, this tells us that the next 4 years should be the period of leap and movement forward. This is a great struggle. It's a Herculean task. So we're talking about a president. The president should know that he is leading the entire republic. That should encompass the entire people and their entire rights, not part of the rights. So the head of a state that needs to know he is standing at the helm of a body, he should know what's exactly happening inside that organization and what's going on in the affiliates. He should know so that he's not cheated. A president who is able to learn about the environs, the region, and the international arena, he should have the right perception, understanding, so that under the slightest pretext, he wouldn't close down things. For 8 years, we have been following, to the best of our ability, all the issues of this country. If there was anything done properly, we approved of it. If there was some deficiency, we tried to help complete it. And if there was an erroneous task, we tried to correct it. So our record of performance is clear. In all fields, so we tried to run the country, to have something that's feasible to be done, a plan that is hope-inspiring. That's what we have written down. We shouldn't stand on ceremony and keep things to ourselves. We need the approaches. But we shouldn't wait for others to do things for us. Instead, we should try to move forward toward development. We should, independently from all politicking, we should stay away from that. And God forbid, we should not do anything that would harm the process. So I would like to conclude my comments to what the Imam Ali said. He asked God that he's witness that whatever he has done was not an effort in order to assume power, nor was it to amass wealth. Imam Ali said that he just wanted to restore the signs and of his faiths. He wants to do the right reform so that those oppressed servants of God would feel secure and so that Islam would prevail. Today, we're in the presence of God, in the presence of the late Imam Khomeini and the martyrs, and the presence of you people. Honestly, we are telling you about what we have come to in the past 8 years, and we think that for the future of the country, this can be the right plan. This is what we are offering to you.
Yes.
And we believe that the presence of each and every one of you at the ballot boxes.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Jalili. I kindly ask my colleagues to show the monitors which are in front of the candidates. As you can see, all candidates, they almost used all of the time allocated to them, maybe a few seconds less or more. The reason for this, a few seconds less or more, was that they...
This is Tehran, the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Well, you have just listened live to the third and final presidential debate. All candidates appealed to voters, the electorate, and they set out their vision for the future. They set out their vision for the Islamic Republic of Iran. They also set out their policies and manifestos and appealed to the electorate. According to Iranian law, all candidates must cease campaigning and canvassing by Wednesday night, 16th of June. And the election itself, the seven-man presidential race, will take place on Friday, 18th of June. This year, of course, the candidates have been using state media and online social media platforms for campaigning as health protocols relating to the coronavirus outbreak have forbidden large political gatherings. It has been a memorable debate. The candidates generally refrained from mudslinging, and they set out their own policies and agendas and manifestos. And we now go back to our regular programming. Thanks for being with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. What you just heard was our special coverage. We now return to our normal course of programs.
چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خداست، ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth. Imam Khomeini's opinion on religious democracy. Here the vote of nation governs. Here it is the nation that holds the reins of government. These public bodies have been appointed by the nation, and to go against the opinion of the nation is neither permitted nor possible for any of us. All of us are responsible, not responsible for our own tasks. We are responsible for the work of others as well. Everybody must be considerate of everybody else, everybody in relation to others, even my responsibility in yours, yours too in my responsibility. The Muslim nation must practice prevention of evil, must practice promotion of good. Each individual of the nation has the right to demand explanation from the ruler of Muslims directly in front of others and to criticize him, and he must give a convincing reply, or otherwise, if he has acted against his Islamic duties, he is automatically removed from his post.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today we are with another program of Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini رحمة الله عليه. The topic which we're gonna inshallah discuss today is it's about election and according to one of the sayings of Imam Khomeini, in one of his speeches, he mentioned that if the people want Islam, independence, freedom, and release from the Eastern or Western bondage, let them all participate in the elections. Now, in this very short statement that we have from Imam Khomeini, he is saying that if people want independence, if people want Islam, if people want freedom, it is necessary to participate in the election. Why is it necessary? It's necessary so that people can choose a person who can be a good manager, a person who can manage the Islamic State on the basis of Islam, a person who can manage the Islamic States on the basis and the rules that are set by Islam. The participation in the election shows the freedom of choice. People have freedom of choice. Whoever they want to choose, they can choose. Yes, there are certain points. There are certain things before the election, and that is that who should apply for a presidential election, for example, who should become a candidate. There are some criteria for it. But once there are some couple of people there announced, it is the time that people should now participate in the election.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The limelight. Research from NASA has suggested that it is possible for humans to maneuver much faster on the moon than the Apollo astronauts did in their missions between 1969 and 1972. Theoretically, walking the circumference of the moon could be done faster than previously predicted. We have prepared you an article authored by Harry Baker. The piece is titled, How Long Would It Take to Walk Around Moon? The article was published on Life Science website. Be quicker than we originally believed, but it's a logistical nightmare. From our vantage point on Earth, the moon looks small, but if you were to hop in on a spaceship, don a spacesuit, and go on an epic lunar hike, how long would it take to walk all the way around it? The answer depends on myriad factors, including how fast you can walk, how much time every day you spend walking, and what detours you'll need to take to avoid dangerous topography. Such a trip around the moon could take longer than a year, but in reality, there are a lot more challenges to overcome. According to NASA, a total of 12 humans have stepped foot on the lunar surface, all of whom were part of the Apollo missions between 1969 and 1972. The footage that was beamed back to Earth showed how challenging and apparently fun it was to walk, or more accurately, bounce around in the moon's low gravity, which is 1/6 of the Earth's gravity. However, research from NASA has since suggested that it is possible for humans to maneuver much faster on the moon than the Apollo astronauts did. Theoretically, walking the circumference of the moon could be done faster than previously predicted. According to NASA, during the Apollo missions, astronauts bounced around the surface at a casual 1.4 miles per hour, or 2.2 kilometers per hour. This slow speed was mainly due to their chunky, pressurized spacesuits that were not designed with mobility in mind. If the moonwalkers had sported sleeker suits, they might have found it a lot easier to move around and, as a result, pick up the pace. In 2014, a NASA study published in the Journal of Experimental Biology tested how fast humans could walk and run in simulated lunar gravity. To do this, the team got 8 participants, 3 of which were astronauts, to use a treadmill on board a DC-9 aircraft, which flew special parabolic trajectories on Earth to simulate gravity on the moon for up to 20 seconds at a time. This experiment revealed that the participants were able to walk to up to 3.1 miles per hour or 5 kilometers per hour before breaking into a run. According to the researcher, this is not only more than double the walking speed managed by the Apollo astronauts, but also fairly close to 4.5 miles per hour or 7.2 kilometers per hour average maximum walking speed on Earth.
The participants pulled off these fast speeds because they were able to freely swing their arms, similar to how humans run on Earth. This pendulum motion created a downward force, which partially compensated for a lack of gravity. One of the reasons the Apollo astronauts were so slow on the lunar surface was because they couldn't do this properly due to their chunky spacesuits. At this new hypothetical maximum speed, it would take about 91 days to walk the 6,786 miles or 10,921 kilometers circumference of the moon. For context, it would take around 334 days to walk non-stop. That is, non-stopping, not stopping or sleeping or eating, around the 24,901 mile or 40,075 kilometer circumference of the Earth at this speed, although it is impossible to do so because of the oceans. Obviously, it's not possible to walk non-stop for 91 days, so the actual walk around the moon would take much longer. Walking around the moon also poses a number of different challenges. Aidan Cowley, a scientific advisor at the European Space Agency, ESA, told Live Science, "I think logistically it could be done, but it would be a very strange mission to support. One of the biggest challenges would be carrying supplies such as water, food and oxygen." Aidan Cowley said, "I don't think you'll be carrying them in your backpack," adding, "because that would be far too much mass, even if you're at 1/6 the gravity of the Earth." He added, "Therefore, you would need to have a support vehicle with you. This vehicle could also double as shelter." Aidan Cowley noted, "A lot of the agencies are looking into the concept of having a pressurized rover, which can actually support the astronauts when they're doing exploration missions, kind of like portable mini bases," adding, "You could use that to go in at night and resupply and then go back out during the day and walk around again." Moon adventurers would also need a spacesuit with a design that allows for optimal movement. Aidan Cowley said current spacesuits are still not created with excessive locomotion in mind, but some agencies are developing form-fitting suits that will allow for the arm swing necessary to walk properly on the moon. The moon's harsh topography would also make finding a suitable route around it quite tricky, especially with meteor craters that are several miles deep. Aidan Cowley added, "You would really want to go around the craters. It's just too dangerous." He would also have to factor in light and temperature when planning the route. Cowley said, "At the equator of the moon and during daytime, you're looking at temperatures at around 100 degrees centigrade or 212 degrees Fahrenheit," adding, "and then at nighttime, it drops to like minus 180 degrees Celsius or minus 292 degrees Fahrenheit." The lunar cycle also means there are days when there is little or no sunshine, and at least half the journey would have to be done in the dark. Aidan Cowley said providing protection against these extreme temperatures could be possible with specially designed spacesuits and the rover for protection, but the temperatures could also change the state of regolith, a fine gray soil that covers the moon's solid bedrock, and affect how fast you could walk on it. However, radiation could pose an even greater danger. Unlike the Earth, the moon does not have a magnetic field that helps deflect radiation from reaching its surface. Aidan Cowley added, "If there was no major solar activity at the time, then it may not be so bad. But if there was a solar flare or coronal ejection, and you're hit by high levels of radiation, that could make you very, very sick. According to NASA, solar flares and coronal mass ejections both release large amounts of energy and magnetized particles, but differ in the types of particles they emit, the duration of the event, and the way the radiation they produce travels through space. This type of mission would also require a huge amount of endurance training, because of the demand of exercising in low gravity on your muscles and cardiovascular system, Aidan Cowley added. You'd have to send an astronaut with ultra-marathon-level fitness to do it. He said even then, walking at a top speed would be possible only for around 3 to 4 hours a day. So if a person walked at 3.1 miles per hour or 5 kilometers per hour for 4 hours a day, then it would take an estimated 547 days, or nearly 1.5 years, to walk the moon's circumference, assuming your route isn't too disrupted by craters and you can deal with the temperature changes and radiation. Aidan Cowley added, however, humans won't have the technology or equipment to accomplish such a feat until at least the late 2030s or early 2040s. He concluded by saying, you'd never get an agency to support anything like this, but if some crazy billionaire wants to try it, maybe they can pull it off.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz for Indian subcontinent, and FM, 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته dear listeners welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. We'd like to send our warmest felicitations and congratulations to the Imam of the time, Imam al-Sahib al-Asri wa al-Zaman, and then also to two other special Imams, Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam, and Imam Ridha alayhi salam, and to all the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, obviously, that this being the day that has been reported to be the birth of the Blessed Lady, the daughter of Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam, the sister of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, the aunt of Imam Sahib al-Asri wa al-Zaman, Bibi Ma'asuma, Salamullah alayha, that unearth, what I mean by unearth here is that completely, you know, that gem of Qum, unearth meaning that we do not truly understand her status. That inshallah we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to truly, you know, make us understand the position of this elevated an exalted lady that, you know, millions of people flock and see and rather come and do her ziyarah. One of those individuals whose ziyarah and whose visitation has been mentioned in the traditions and emphasized in the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. From Imam Sadiq alayhi salam right to Imam Ridha alayhi salam and then also to Imam Al-Jawad alayhi salam. They've all mentioned the particular ziyarah of this particular exalted individual. And furthermore, within the particular ziyarat nameh, or that ziyarah, or that visitation, recitation which we do, which has been reported to come from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, there's a particular verse in there that is extremely, you know, worthy of pondering upon, of thought. And the Imam says, and obviously when we go we read it as well, but understand this is coming from an Imam. Right, this person who is known as the center of everything, that person who you know is the means by which the world, you know, reaches that point of salvation and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's objective on earth is achieved. This is who the Imam is. Right, this Imam, then in this particular recitation for visiting this exalted lady, says that. That, O Fatima, ishfa'i lana fil jannah. That, O Ma'suma, O lady, you know, O Fatima, O my niece, intercede for us in paradise. This is extremely profound. Doesn't intercede for us before paradise or in the hereafter, no. Intercede for us fil jannah. There in paradise you do intercession for. What this actually means is very difficult to understand, but it shows the status of this lady. That even within, when a person has achieved the entering into paradise, there is a special type of intercession for certain individuals. And one of those individuals who has the ability to give this intercession, as per the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, the Imam obviously has that potential, not potential, he has that ability. But he is asking Bibi Ma'asuma and teaching us that this lady also has that potential and that ability to intercede within paradise itself. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more. No more.
the debate.
Britain and the European Union have failed to agree on any solutions to ease post-Brexit trade with Northern Ireland and exchange threats in a standoff that could cloud the G7 International Summit over the weekend.